This episode was recorded Saturday, May 5th, 2018. Better late than never. This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we are live at NoBrainCon 2018 to talk about the latest news from Sega and Nintendo for the Nintendo Switch. And later we'll probably talk about some other cool video game things, but we haven't done the show yet, so we got to make it all up.
Yay!
Hey, Vink.
Oh, hello. Hello, Sean Orange.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Now that we've established that we are in fact live. Yes, hello.
I got this cool new thing from Phil Bond recently. Have you seen this? Yeah.
I haven't.
Okay. This is the, what the heck is it even called? Like the Pokemon Go Russ, I was gonna say pro. How embarrassing!
The Russ, okay, yes.
He just gave it to me because Phil's a cool guy that way. Because he already had one. This one was a backup. And so we're at the Chula Vista Resort right now.
Okay.
I haven't played Pokemon Go for flipping ever, and so I finally fired it up, paired to my Pokemon Go Plus, and now it constantly annoys me whenever I want to do anything. And so all I gotta do is pair it. With we're going right now. There's all this stuff. It's not really working. Hold on a second. It's blinking at me, so I don't know. It's trying. There it goes. Oop, whoop. There. Yeah. Now it's stuck. So that's going to happen. And tell me about all this stuff as we're podcasting, constantly distracting me from the news of the day. And what is the news of the day, Vink?
Well, you know what? The news of the day is probably now that you've mentioned about that watch, that's probably going to be the one thing that brings us that has too much signal and is going to bring the podcast down.
Good grief. Okay, so I mean that's fair.
Thanks, Phil Bond. Anyway, the news of the day, the news of last week is there's a whole bunch of big Sega news.
Well, do tell. You know, I have not heard the Sega news.
And you know that we at Famicom Dojo love our Sega news.
We do.
Well, which one should I start with? I'll start with the one that I care most about.
Sure.
Sakura Wars is coming back. Sakura Wars. Woo! Everybody remember Sakura Wars?
All right. What was the last time that came out? Was that for the Dreamcast? Oh, it's going off again. Good grief.
the last one that really I think the last game released was either the remake of the first two for the PSP or Sakura Wars, like Mysterious Dungeon for the Nintendo DS. But the last main series game was Sakura Wars 5, and that came out for PlayStation 2 and was localized for the Wii in the United States. Europe too. Yes. Yeah, hold on. I'll go get it.
So while you're doing that, I can't do anything with this because I ran out of Pokeballs. Like, you just push this button, and then nothing happens now. It's going to flash red at me. Yeah. I'm out of balls, and I am perfectly, like, not even within the range of, like, all three Pokestops. I'm, like, right in the middle. I can't get to any of them. So I'm going to turn this flipping thing off right now. There.
This is why we never get anything done, Sean. This is why we never get anything done. But yeah, here's the Wii version of Sakura Wars 5. Can you see that?
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah,
it looks nice.
But anyway, five was a weird game because it was kind of more of a spinoff than anything. It didn't have the classic characters from the other games, so it was kind of a weird choice for the first one to localize. I suppose it's because it was the newest at the time, but it didn't do well. So,
oh, that's too bad. But it's coming back. Yay!
It is. But We don't know exactly in what form. There have been no details other than it's back. It's probably going to be some mobile game, and I'm just going to cry. Just cry.
Oh, man.
Coming from our live chat, Aruges, Argus, whatever, he says, I'm out of balls. Sean Orange, 2018.
Phrasing.
And apparently we're getting a lot of lag. Lag is our friend. It's probably due to your Pokemon habits.
It's off. I turned it. It's not even going anymore.
All right.
Oh, no. Also, so Tarrant, Meep here, who's just talking at us in public, also chatting with us on the YouTubes, which is just so 21st century.
It is. It is.
I got to say, it'll be fine. Oh, gosh. Sorry, Robert, about the too much lag. All right. So how about this? We're gonna talk about Sega after the break here. We're gonna do a little bit of warm up exercises while we listen to the messages from our sponsors, which is just us at this point. And we're gonna pretend like we're alive. Whatever, the recorded version of the podcast. Does that sound good?
Oh, that
everyone
sounds.
Say,
that
yay! Sounds. All right.
That sounds much better because I'm better taped.
All right.
Well, we finally have a new way to support the Famicom Dojo video game podcast and videos. We've launched a Patreon. You can get a DVD. You might get a t-shirt. You will get shoutouts in the podcast and videos. And of course, every month that you pledge, you help us. Check out patreon.com/FamicomDojo to find out everything we have to offer. We've been running this Patreon for a few months now, so we have a lot of announcements to get through. First of all, a shout out to all the new patrons. Earl Grey III, Alana Dunitz, Alberto Vera, Psycho Lavos, Colin Swinborne, Brady Cashin, Chris Berkman, Jody A. Cornelius, NoScap, Paul Spicknall, Daniel Hathcock, Lena, and David Lang. A number of these patrons are Dojo Disciples, a super special tier that we are so, so thankful for. But of course, all of you are necessary to make this work, so thank you, and on to the show.
How do I skip this commercial?
Listen.
How do I skip this?
So. So Fink, I didn't actually watch the video, and I heard it was all in Japanese anyway, which I could have probably understand some of, but it was like this quasi Nintendo Direct type thing, and they were like counting down, and the countdown was to something that we were all excited about, or I was excited about. But what did they announce first, though?
Oh gosh, I don't even know what the order was, because I was working, so like I basically just got a summary near the end, so.
Right.
Let's see. I think I sent you a text with all of the stuff.
Well, the first part was there about 15 games or so for the Mega Drive. Does that sound right? That we're going to come to the Switch.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely one of the early announcements. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's start with that one.
So what do you know? Like what some of those games are.
Yeah, they announced a big list of them, and unfortunately, I think a lot of people were hoping that there'd be some like Saturn and Dreamcast stuff on that list, but
right.
It's mainly the usual contenders from Mega Drive, you know, Genesis, and Sega. I think there were some Sega Master System games. I think like the first Phantasy Star.
Huh.
Hold on, let me pull up the list, because that hasn't been like finalized either. They just put up a bunch of logos with different names of the different systems that would be featuring. Hold on, let me see if I can find that slide, because this is how we do. we look up stuff while we're podcasting.
While you're doing that, apparently your frame rate has dropped to an untenable level.
Yay! Untenable.
It's even unelevenable. Okay.
Okay, so I got one.
Ugh. It looks huge.
It is, but it's really like a handheld. It's the first hybrid. Switch copied this. See right here. Podcast listeners, I hope you're enjoying these visual things. But it's a micro console. It's a console right there, and you can dock it into this thing, which will allow it to HDMI out to a TV. Can you guys see this? So it was like a little system here. It had its games on SD cards. It came with a full size joystick for when you had it docked to your TV through this thing, which looks like a standard AES system with two USB ports. It was okay.
How much was it? I don't remember. It was pretty pricey, as I recall.
Yeah, it was like, I didn't pay this much for it, but I think it was $200 when it came out.
That sounds about right.
I mainly bought it for the box. I mean,
well, by comparison here, so this is what was leaked. It's not official yet, but it's got to be what was under that tarp. It looks like, you know, basically an MVS mini, which is where everyone else is basically no different.
Yeah,
there are ports like on the sides, on the back to like plug in another controller, HDMI, and no price or games listing that I'm aware of was really announced. But.
Yeah, there was a games list leaked in that same leak. And what's weird about that is it leaked that it would have Samurai Showdown 2 and 4. But look on the picture again. Go up on the marquee.
Okay.
See the stickers that are up there? One of the games listed is Samurai Showdown 1. That's the third game listed, but that's not in the list that leaked. So I think it's not ready for prime time yet, if it's real. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's so weird that they would announce it and then kind of sit on it unless they deliberately leaked it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe anyway, they're worried. I don't know. The point being that all of these companies, you know, with the Wii, Nintendo had like this market cornered, and then with the Wii U game, and Nintendo kind of dropped the ball on releasing as much content as they had. Yep. Although we got new stuff like Wii games, and we got gun sight games like Duck Hunt, which was pretty cool. But
were there other gun games other than Duck Hunt? I think that was it.
I don't recall, honestly. Did Wild Gunman come out? It might have. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really matter at this juncture, I guess. But I'm excited about the Sega news, right? Even though
that pretty much Alley? Hogan's Alley? Did that one come?
Hogan's Alley, maybe.
Okay. Anyway.
But the countdown timer on the Sega video counted down to something that I'm excited about.
Ooh,
I hope
which
you're
one?
Excited
which one?
Too.
Which one?
Shenmue 1 and 2 HD.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for and I'd like to point out that what's going to finally bring me into buying one of the next generation systems other than a Switch is ports of Dreamcast games. Yes.
Yeah, I think we discussed on the show before that you needed to be convinced to buy a PS4 now, and you know you're going to have to get it pretty much for the Shenmue 3 when it comes out.
Well, I've already got that pre-ordered, so that'll be my first. And I've already bought a few PlayStation 4 games, to tell you the truth. I'm anticipating this thing. So,
well, here's what's weird about this announcement, right? It's like they are releasing the HD versions to Xbox One.
Yep.
Right. No announcement for the Switch that I'm aware of. Right. But Shenmue 3 hasn't been announced for anything but the PS4 at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, guessing we're going to see it on more platforms. I'm hoping they don't leave the Switch out in the cold.
I don't know. It's hard to say because it looks like Sony did some help with the funding on Shenmue 4 in some way. It was announced at Sony's press.
That's right. It was part of the Kickstarter, right? Like they weren't doing the whole thing through crowdfunding, but they had some supplemental help from Sony.
So I don't know. They might have a timed exclusive. It's a little unclear. Speaking of microconsoles, the new Atari VCS, Robert has reminded me, is also coming.
But what is it? Does anyone know what
Nobody
it is?
Nobody knows. They had like a hands-on video, and it still wasn't hooked up. It was just like them turning it around. I think we're being trolled.
As Ava Nunes says here, it is real! whatever it is, it's real.
Yeah, it says that it's going to include a collection of classic Atari games, but the specs that they released for it show that it's actually a pretty substantial system. So I wonder if it's going to do Atari games from like later generations as well. Come on, Jaguar. I want a Jaguar Mini. Why don't they? Oh, I know what I want. I want a Virtual Boy Mini. Just
nobody
a tiny
wants
little Virtual Boy. You know?
In grief.
Come on, Nintendo. Release the things that I want.
Wouldn't that be nice? I think. Well, I mean, speaking of Shenmue, right? I kind of wanted to talk about my experience playing Shenmue 2, because I absolutely had to copy my save over from Shenmue 1. The problem...
I did this too.
Okay, so you know where this is going. The problem with this is that in the U.S., Shenmue 2 did not come out on the Dreamcast. The system was dead by then. It did come out on the Xbox, which in a lot of ways is Dreamcast 2. Long story. We'll talk about it some other time. But, I know, controversial statement of the episode. So I got a Dreamcast version from Europe instead, which I'm sure you did as well, yes?
Okay. Yep. I got it back in the shelf over there, yeah.
So this is what you had to do back in 2002? Is that
2001, 2002? Yeah, I think 2001, tail end. Yeah.
Okay, so this is what you had to do. You had to take your VMU, which I wish I would have brought with me as a prop for this. You take your VMU, stick it into your Dreamcast. You go into SegaNet through your browser, and every single Dreamcast came with a dial-up modem. So you could plug it in. There was, through the university I was going to at the time, had a service for students, so I could do this. Now I have to get a broadband adapter to get this to work, and those are pricey. But I went on the SegaNet, uploaded this file to like an email to myself, had to upload the file from the email to a website where you could edit the file, to port it over to a format that Shenmue 2 could read, email that file back to yourself, download it from SegaNet onto your VMU, stick your boot disk into the Dreamcast, stick Shenmue 2 into the Dreamcast, and then you pick up where you left off. And then immediately when you land in Hong Kong, all your stuff gets stolen.
Yep, all your stuff gets stolen.
All your gashapons you collected, every single thing gone.
It did keep your level and some of your fighting techniques, though.
Yeah.
But
Sega, I know you're listening. I don't know what you're planning on doing for the HD version, but can you just not give us any hope and just give us some default stuff for playing Shenmue 2? Don't try and like do a Dragon Age Keep or Mass Effect or whatever. Just start the game. Well, the other big thing was that there's a girl in Hong Kong, and like she talks about her birthday coming up, and like you can get her something for her birthday, and it's apparently this really sweet story moment. But because the only thing that mattered that carried over besides my move list was the date I went to Hong Kong, because you can take forever to avenge your father's death in this game, just like any good RPG.
Yeah,
you do that, and basically on my game save, her birthday wasn't going to be for almost an entire year. And unlike Shenmue 1, you can't really dilly dally in Shenmue 2 that I'm aware of. So that there was no chance for me to have this storyline. I was very disappointed.
Well, I mean, that happens. That happens. But like again, like on subsequent playthroughs, I don't even bother trying to save transfer over the save file because it doesn't really do all that much. But I like what they did with the Xbox version where they included Shenmue 1 the movie.
Oh,
did you watch that?
I don't recall. It's been about 15 years.
Oof, you know what? 16. You know what? This vengeance on our father's death is old enough to vote.
Well, no.
This is kind of a bigger deal to me because all these classic AM2 games that Yu Suzuki did that were included on Shenmue 1, it will have been longer when Shenmue 3 comes out that the Shenmue 2 was released than when those games came out before Shenmue.
Holy
cow. Think about that. Right.
I'd also like to announce that the Shenmue series has a better virtual console than the Switch.
So what you're saying is that Sega's virtual console is coming to the PS4 and Xbox One after all.
Yes, it's Shenmue. It's actually, wasn't there a full version of one of the Virtual Fighter games on one of the Yakuza games?
I don't recall, honestly. There were all those QTE arcade games and stuff. That's all I really remember.
QTE.
Oh, all goodness. Right. Everyone keeps asking for Super Famicom Dojo in the chat. We'll get there, you guys. We'll get there.
What's a Super Famicom?
Oh, yeah. All right. I guess anything else to add to this Sega story before we move on? Pile of Shame.
Well, there's other Sega news.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't remember what it is, but hold on. What are we?
We're better taped, everyone.
I guess I don't care. Okay, that's fine.
I guess now it's time for some future retro pile of shame.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time. Or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not. I guess I'll go first then. I stopped by Phil Bond's place before coming up to No Brand Con. Hadn't seen him in a little while, so I figured we'd just hang out, catch up. He had some cool new stuff at his house for the Switch. Can you guess what it was, everybody? What just came out for the Switch? Labo. Nintendo Labo. He had the two sets that I'm aware of that are out, the Variety Pack and the Robot Kits. I'll be honest, I thought it was a kind of neat idea, and I wasn't really on board with it, though, until I saw it in action. And so everyone's like, oh, you spent $70 on a bunch of cardboard. I could do that. Well, I mean... Well, it is... Good grief!
I'm holding up Magic: The Gathering.
It is analogous to so many things. The first thing that comes to mind, because someone posted like a picture of it on Facebook, was like, when's the Lego version coming? It is quite a bit like Lego Dimensions. Like there's software that comes with this. They've basically duplicated all of these.
Holy cow! Someone just sent me $5 for dancing. Oh,
am I the one who dropped?
Yeah, you keep dropping, so I'm just alone in this thing. And thanks, Meep. Meep just gave me $5 for dancing. I don't know how I feel about that. I really don't, because like, I think I've entered a different level of entertainer that I wasn't previously part of.
All right. What the heck was I saying? I was talking about Labo. So
yeah, you're talking about Labo, yes.
So yeah, in a lot of ways, it is like Lego Dimensions because it has software, and like every little piece of cardboard that you use to put it together, these different kits that are special part of the Variety Pack, where there's like lots of different things you can do. There's stuff on the menu which shows you all the different stuff you can put together, the estimated time it's going to take, and then there's like duplicated 3D versions of all those pieces within the game. Much like the Lego stuff. And not only that, but you know, they go through painstaking detail, taking you through all the features of the Switch, the HD rumble, the infrared camera on the right Joy-Con, all this stuff. And especially in that variety pack, there are really cool ways that you can use this, which reminds me of basically a way better version of the music portion of Mario Paint.
Yep.
Like that keyboard that you can make, like there are a lot of pieces to it. The way it basically works is that you slot, hold on. I'll get out my Switch, to demonstrate.
Ooh.
All right. So if everyone watching home can see this, there's this camera on the bottom, of your right Joy-Con there. That's an infrared camera. And I think it's also an emitter in there. What ends up happening when you put this software in is it actually updates, your Joy-Con software, which I didn't realize it had its own firmware, but I guess that makes sense. They're wireless. So if you had any like previous settings, about how the HD rumble worked, it overwrites them completely and says, nope, we're doing this now because this is how the game needs to work. And so you end up sticking, this into this cardboard slot and it gives, the camera in there this wide angle view of the inside of this keyboard, and there's this special reflective tape that comes with it, so not only do you put the cardboard together, you tape it together with a special tape or the notches or whatever, and it's able to read this in a really similar way to how like the light gun would read the different targets on the screen for zapper games for CRTs. So, but you know, in this case, you know, it's a real life object. So you don't have to worry about, you know, having, whatever 3D TVs in the future where they don't have flat screens anymore and the refresh rate's like 1,000 Hertz or whatever. It'd probably burn your eyeballs off. But the point being is that like there's a special program where you can see all this stuff working in real time and like the detail that the camera can go to, which honestly reminds me a lot of how the Kinect was built to work and never kind of fulfilled that promise except for some really kitschy stuff. Yeah. But like, This is kind of niche too, I guess. But like, you know, because it's all like visual and camera based, you can push like all the keys down at the same time and they'll all make noise. You can stick things like, you know, that rotates, like control volume and everything. Yep. And so because of the proportions and the size of the tape on there, it's able to track it and work like a digital knob does on an actual physical deck these days.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cool stuff that you can do with that.
Can't you also put in like wave tables to make custom sounds or something?
Yeah. There's actually like a template, like a cardboard template you can use. Then you can copy it, put in your waveform, and like dude, like there that video that I want to do, that music video that I want to do for Spring Dojo, I wish I had the time and wherewithal to write that song in Labo. I don't. Maybe I'll do it after we do the video and then share that with people so that they can do their own stuff too. But I mean, just this one piece of the variety pack, the possibilities are friggin' endless.
Well, I really want to get it because I think it would be a very cool introduction to coding for my kids.
Yes, absolutely. Because you can like map and program all the different sounds and to like not just music but actions.
Some of the things people have been making in this?
No, but like we should link to that in the show notes for sure. There are some cool videos out there already.
And this thing's only been out for a short amount of time, but like, yeah, I mean, and by the way, Nintendo finally conquered the losing money from used games because you would never buy a used Labo.
yeah it's interesting though because they do take a lot of time to explain to you, especially if you're younger, because I'm assuming kids are going to play with this stuff. You know, if when the cardboard starts to kind of wear out, how to repair it with like scotch tape and stuff, like, you know, they're aware of the limited not shelf life, but you know, the limited viability and wear and tear on cardboard. And at least for now, you can buy replacement cardboard from Nintendo's website. So for as long as that goes, like you know, we're always so like worried about preserving games for the future, you know, and like all this plastic and stuff. And we could absolutely you know, once Nintendo stops selling the cardboard or you just don't have the forms for it anymore and the right kind of tape, then you can't do this stuff anymore. Ooh. But I mean, it's barely been out for a week and I'm worried about this already.
Well, you know? I mean, what's nice is Nintendo put PDFs of all of the, the things up. So theoretically, if you download those in the future, you'd be able to, I mean, it would take a lot of work, but you'd be able to print out your own pieces and things.
Okay.
So like that's pretty cool.
But the other thing that Phil theorized was that because it's all based on like proportions and distances and whatnot, you don't have to have everything at the size that is in that. You could scale things up as long as the camera is able to see everything and you know the distance isn't too much for the camera to see, as long as the proportions are all exactly correct. You could make like a life-size piano keyboard out of like wood or plastic or like 3D printed or something so that it lasts longer and doesn't fall apart like cardboard does. As long as you can, you know, solve the elasticity problems of these materials.
But yeah. I know about video game collectors, and it'll only be good if it's the original cardboard. The description's gotta be like box complete in box.
Oh my god, yeah. How much is like a Labo box like unseal or like mint gonna be worth in like 10 years?
I would say, you know, I'm gonna take it back to there was a Apple II program that I had when I was a kid called the Toy, and it was made by Borderbond, the people who made the print shop, and was basically not with anything, but it basically allowed you to print out these toys that you could put together, these paper craft things, and there were little parts in the box. And I never used it because even then I was like, if I make these toys, then I don't have the toys anymore. I'll just keep it in the box. Yeah, I was one of those.
Right. that's my future retro, I guess. Yeah. This thing is already super cool. Like if this came out in the 80s, I could see myself making a video about it today. So I'm just saying.
No, it's very cool. I was gonna get one over the Golden Week break, but I just didn't have time. But I definitely want to maybe during the summer I'm gonna get one of these and put it together with my kids. I think that's gonna be super super fun. Is it gonna be the next smash hit for Nintendo? I'm not sure, but it's it looks very very cool. I think the main problem is. The target audience for Nintendo Switch right now is people our age. You know what I mean? And, well, then again, people who are our age have kids. Some of them. I don't know.
Well, there's certainly an age floor, especially because these things are made out of cardboard and like not just like damage like directly, but you know, worried about incidental stuff like, you know, water spills, getting stepped on, getting put in mouths. I mean, you know, sticking cardboard in your mouth is going to ruin your good time pretty fast, I think.
Well, sticking most things in your mouth is going to ruin your good time pretty fast. Unless
that's debatable.
Okay, now Sean, I'm gonna let you finish, but we've had requests for some Vink dancing, and I need to do that right now.
All right, fine, just dance
okay,
away.
I'm dancing.
Dance, Spunky, dance.
All right, it's really hard to dance in this thing, but we've had multiple requests to do dance magic dance
magic tonight. Go on internet for money.
Dance magic. Nope. All right, sorry.
Trent will come back to your question when we get to the Gmail segment. I think that sounds good. Let's let Vink talk about his pile of shame, or dancing shame.
There's a lot of shame going on.
Shame.
And you know what's worse than dancing for money, Sean?
Dancing for no money.
Dancing for no money. Yes. when you dance quite a bit and everyone's like, "Ha ha, we made him dance." Moving on. Okay. Anyway, pile of shame. Gosh. Shame. Okay, let's start. My pile of shame is microconsoles.
Weren't we just talking about this?
Yes, we were.
Wait. I got you that SNES Classic.
I know, it's so nice. Thank you. What? If I open it, it won't be in the box.
Son of a... Fine. Fine. You better buy and play a Super Famicom Mini then.
All right. Okay. Hold on. A Super Famicom Mini like this one that's still in the box?
Son of a... All right. You win. You win this round, sir.
No, you win. I'll unbox it right now. I'm going to unbox it right now.
No, save it for a video. No.
See, this is why I can't do anything. Because everything we got to save for videos.
It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Thank you for the close-up of your hand. No, but that's exactly it. Like, I buy all kinds of things, and I'm like, I should play this. And I'm like, maybe I should play this on a video. And then I just wait, and then we don't do the video. And then, yeah.
That's actually the reason I stopped playing Breath of the Wild, because I kept wanting to record the moment when I would unlock a memory. And you can't have that moment again ever. And the save system is such that you can have, like, one... like save, but all the autosaves, like, you know, get pushed off after a while. And it's like, I've already lost time trying to go back to an earlier save and then lose the autosave where I was to like not want to risk that. So I just kept going after a while, but then I'm just like, well, if I'm not doing this for a video I'm never making, maybe I don't want to beat the game after all. That's my shame. So you haven't played any mini consoles. Do tell.
I would like to point out that someone just donated $2 for me to not dance. I don't know. We've got $5 to dance and $2 to not dance. I think we're at the point where what the fans want is a small amount of dancing.
Yes. Dancing still wins. No one wants me to dance.
Yeah, I like how you're not even in this equation, Sean. Even though you're the one who's there live. All right. So microconsoles are definitely a thing for me, because I love the concept of them. I love that I'm getting this cute little miniature version of these things. But I'm very worried about I don't even know what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about breaking them. They look like they're made of Nintendonium. They're probably going to survive longer than I am. So, I think it's just tell you what, I'll buy a second one to play. That's what I'll do. Because that's rational. So I suppose microconsoles are shameful, because I do want to play them. And actually, I'm going to fire this up because I have another shameful thing to share. Do you see the games listed on the back here? Can you see my microconsole?
Yeah, it's a little choppy, but
all right. I have not played Super Mario RPG for the SNES. Okay. I have not played Secret of Mana. And I have not played Contra 3, the Alien Wars. I have not played.
Okay.
I have not played those three games. I think I've played everything else on the back of this. I haven't beat all of them, obviously, but that one I haven't. So there's my shame. I need to go back and play those games. So I will be hooking this up, and once we can get it on video.
And now, a haiku. Retro Gaming Show. We are the No Brand Heroes, and doing it live. We have some questions. We have some questions waiting.
My virtual boy mini. Okay.
From the chat yet. Let's get to those first, and we'll take some from the audience here if anyone wants to ask us any questions.
Yes.
So for the Denchi Mail segment, what we do is we answer questions from listeners and viewers. Since you guys are all live here, instead of doing like a voicemail or a pre-recorded thing, you guys can come up and ask us a question or ask us over the chat, and we'll answer it live on the podcast.
Okay, this one comes from Romeo Technic. Ooh. And he says, what do you guys think about the Capcom $100 Mega Man game? Since they are not official, do you consider them repos or not?
I haven't heard about this.
Okay. They're reprinting, I believe it's Mega Man 2 and for the Super Nintendo Mega Man X. And they look very nice. They're in like blue cases. Actually, they look like Color Dreams blue.
Who is the they in this case?
They is I Am 8-Bit, who does all the like special editions for games and stuff like that. They did like a special edition for No Man's Sky and Rez and things like that.
Okay, so it's like a legit licensing deal, or they're not just
it
like
is,
pirating?
Yes, okay. It is legit licensed, but $100. I mean, I guess that's actually probably the price you'd pay for one of the originals, but I'd rather have the original.
Well, yeah, the original cartridges now are worth like $100, which makes no sense to me. Yeah, why would you pay for the reproduction? It doesn't. Really, I don't know why. I don't know why you would.
I don't know. I mean, it. I guess it looks pretty nice, but I don't know. For me, I'm not very interested in them at all. But what I do like is that in Japan right now, some of the really really rare games, there was a Satellaview only game that was just re-released on Super Famicom cartridge, you know, and those are either impossible to play, or they had this one game that was like a fighter done by the people who did Cho Aniki, I think, and like it, the cartridge sells for like, I don't know, $700-$800 here, but they did a repo of it recently, and I think that's awesome. I would buy a repo, an officially licensed repo of a game like Panzer Dragoon Saga, for example, or something that's like impossible to get. But these, I don't know, Mega Man X and Mega Man 2, neither of them are rare. I guess they're expensive, but I don't see the point of these repos. And they're not really repos because, I don't know. That's my opinion. What do you think, Sean? Would you pay $100 for any reproduction of a game, even if it's licensed?
Well, I mean, since our alternatives for some of these games are just soft copies, maybe. But I mean, yeah, since I can find the originals out in the wild somewhere and play them, I don't think I'd shell out money for like a brand new version unless I cared about like boxes and manuals and stuff, which I don't. Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right, I want to go to Trent Howard's question. He says, there's a rumor that Sega lost the source code for most of the Saturn games. What do you guys think about that possibility? Well, that's horrifying. I had not heard this rumor. Do you have a source for that, Trent?
I don't know about a lot of Saturn games, but I know that the source code for Panzer Dragoon Saga was lost.
Oh, my gosh. How do you... Yeah. I guess I didn't really consider that to be an issue. Like, you know, this isn't like Doctor Who in the 70s or whatever being recorded to VHS, or 60s too, I guess.
Like, the game still exists, but they can't, but they would not be able to easily do like a remaster or a port. Basically, all that they could do is make more copies of the physical disc, which I can't see anybody doing. So that's one of the reasons that it demands such incredibly high prices. Like, you had the original Panzer Dragoon game, which got ported to the PC as well, and then, you know, I'm guessing would still exist for things like that. Any of their old arcade games? I don't know. But yes, I know for sure that Panzer Dragoon Saga's source code is gone. As for other Saturn games, I'm not sure. That's the one that I remember, though, because a lot of people have been asking over the years for it to be ported to, like, to have an HD remaster or something, and they wouldn't be able to without completely remaking the game, which they should still do, because
they could technically reverse compile it. Maybe it'd be really hard to go through, but yeah, there are ways without starting completely from scratch, assuming that's the kind of thing. I mean, do you even need the original source code to do an HD remake? Can't you like do it in the spirit of the original game and just call it good?
Well, exactly, but right now an HD remaster, you basically just up the polygons, yeah. But you know, it still has the same, you know, physics, it still has the same
right, engine, that makes sense.
All that stuff. You'd have to recreate that. And you know, that team, the team that did that, they Team Andromeda disbanded a long time ago. So, you know, hey, I'd kickstart that.
Romeo Technic is asking about the BS Zelda games.
Oh, sorry.
No.
he also asked about sideburns. Okay, sorry, continue.
So the BS Zelda game is the Satellaview only downloadable Zelda game that you played in 4 episodes, was it?
Something like that.
There's also other ones like the Mario Kart or whatever, the Mario Excitebike Satellaview game, which we actually showed in one of our videos, and spoilers, it was emulated because you can't, unless you happen to find a cartridge that had the game downloaded to it, this stuff's lost to history, right? So like, I don't know why Nintendo has never tried to release that stuff before, unless they don't have the assets, like you're talking about Panzer Dragoon.
Well, it's possible that part of the assets were shared between the company that was doing the satellite service.
Sure, like,
because it was a third party. I don't remember what, but I know that like some of these games had like voice narration or whatever, and the rights to that stuff exists outside of Nintendo itself. So, like. I think for some of those things that would be really hard. But yeah, they should get what they should also get on is releasing some of the stuff for the Nintendo Power System.
Oh yeah, because that's a very similar thing.
Yep.
Yeah, they have all these like Famicom Disk System games, and they're re-releasing those no problem. But all this other more esoteric stuff, what is going on?
I'm looking for this. It's buried. So this is hold on, let me open this up. This is a Nintendo Power cartridge. For those who can see, I was holding it up to the microphone for some reason because apparently the microphone can see.
That makes perfect sense to me.
But I don't even know what's on this one because, as you can see, there's no stickers. Do you see those slots for stickers?
Yeah, the numbered 1 through 8.
Yeah, basically, 1 through 7. I'm holding up a pure white cartridge right now, and these were rewritable like flash cartridges that you could go to the convenience store. I actually saw one of these units live, but it's before we started making videos, so I didn't get any recording of it, but. Because this service continued up until like 2003, maybe even later. No, it's later. It is actually after we started making videos. But basically, you could go there and you could pay a fee and you could have games written to this. And there were a lot of games exclusively released for the Nintendo Power cartridge. For example, Super Punch-Out was never released in Japan other than on this.
Right. And you did a video about, that was a pirate cart. Right. The version you have is a pirate cart, but you were talking about, we do have a video about that. If you want to check that out on the channel.
We did. But there's all kinds of other things. They released all kinds of, they had it for the Game Boy as well. Let me see if I have that. Here we go. And this is one of the Game Boy ones right here. Can you see that?
All right.
And you could do the same thing. You could put on a game, and there's a whole bunch of like kind of exclusive Picross games that were released on this. This cartridge has a couple of them, actually. I know what's on this one. I've tried it. I haven't tried this yet. Shame, but
shame.
As you can tell by the side label, I got this one at Famicom Dojo, and I just opened it for the first time. Now it could have anything on it. It could have a Fire Emblem game on it. It could have pretty much anything. I'm hoping that like I have about 7 of these cartridges Should I do a video about this?
Yeah.
Shame. All right. I'll do, you know what? Then let me not spoil it. But those are the type of things. Nintendo has all of these things that I think people are very interested in. It wasn't until the Wii Virtual Console that we were able to get the original version of Super Mario Brothers 2. I know we had it in the remade version in the Mario All-Stars, but it wasn't until the Virtual Console that we were able to, that people were able to play the original.
I just want to mention that Core Fan is watching us from wherever he is on the interwebs.
Yep. Oh, he's not there?
Nope. He's watching the stream.
Core Fan, I still have your extension cord. I should really get that back to you. In fact, it's probably in this room. Occasionally I'm hooking something up and it says right on it, like, this extension cord belongs to Core Fan. And I think to myself, I should really get that back to him.
Oh, good grief. All right. Are there any questions from the audience? Anyone want to ask us anything? About video games, about Famicom Dojo stuff.
I'd like to share a comment by Genki. This is okay. Honestly a fascinating panel to be at. Everyone seems engaged and having a good time, but almost all of them are watching the stream on their phones. This is why we keep losing connection here, because everybody's on their phones.
Everyone's streaming the same video.
This is like
we're streaming it right on the screen right here, right on the projector. It's fine.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denshimail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshimail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshimail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details.
So, all right, we're gonna wrap it up now. But
okay.
Thank you again, everyone who came. Thank you to No Brand Con. I've done four panels today. I got pulled into a fourth one. I was on the Hold on, this is embarrassing. Give me a second. I was on the Migrant Thought podcast live earlier today, as well as doing a panel about YouTube and the one about Donkey Kong Soul Wars. They were all very well attended. Thank you all so much. Hope to come back next year. I've been in every No Brand Con since the inception. I kind of worked here before, though, so that's part of the reason. But thank you again, and we'll see you guys on the interwebs at some other points. And until next time, the dojo is...
The dojo is considering keeping the stream running in another room.
Okay. Sure, I'll just not stop it and take the laptop with me.
Sounds good.
Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.